This is the E-Square Podcast recording live from the Junction Complex. You are now making a worldwide connection.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning into the E-Square Podcast. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe to all my shit. Today, we got the Chicago legend, man. This dude has written songs for Kanye, Jay-Z, Common. The list goes on and on and on, man. Chicago's very own. Everybody give it up for Fireman. Let's go. E-Square Podcast. I'm Easy Mo. Today we got the Chicago legend, man. You're everywhere, bro. I'm glad you got to stop by since you're in Vegas.
Blessing, fireman.
What's up with you, man? Doing all right?
Man, I'm doing well, man.
I appreciate you being here, bro. For sure.
I can't complain at all, man. Yeah, Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, for sure. You say you just got in yesterday?
Yep.
Yeah, how long you staying for?
Probably like to like the 25th or something.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna stay here for a second, rock out.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So what brings you to Vegas in the first place? Like, how'd you plant your flag here? Like, you know, moving around, like in the music scene, it's like Vegas doesn't seem to be a place where you would, you know.
Well, it all really just started with my mentor, Malik Youssef.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up, first of all, I'll say this. People sleep on Vegas when it comes down to LLCs and businesses and running things like that. It's a lot of different tax breaks, cheaper things that you could put together and finesse with that. So I think that that's the original reason why how I ended up out here in general, because a lot of people in my team, you know, they handle a lot of different business. And, you know, Vegas is a nice hub for that. You know, we like to be on the West Coast and work it out.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas is like, To me, Vegas like feel like a suburb of L.A. or something a little bit.
Yeah, it's right down the street.
Yeah, so you can come to Vegas and the cost of living cheaper and you could just commute back and forth to L.A. or something, or pivot from there.
Yeah, Vegas is like the new L.A., really. Man, everybody moving out here.
I rock with Vegas, man.
Appreciate it, man.
It gets way colder than L.A., though. That's the only thing. Like, I thought the desert was supposed to be hot as hell.
No, I guess it's
but it gets cold.
It's that dry, nippy cold. That shit hurts.
Yeah.
So what's your impression of Vegas so far? Like, the times you have been here, you know, moving and shaking. I know you know people out here. You make music out here. What's your impression so far?
Vegas is like a real chill spot. I don't really gamble and stuff like that, so I don't really got that type of vice. So for me, I enjoy it out here. It's very peaceful, you feel me? It's a good vibe. You know, I made some nice, you know, alliances out here, you know, with Tenace and his whole team, my brother Dawson.
Shout out Dawson.
Triple Fiend, Johnny Yo Z. I rock with a lot of people out here, Koozie Gang, Teej, that's my brother Teej.
Teej is going crazy right now too,
Yeah, we all rock out. We got our own, you know what I mean, our own little group and collective and stuff like that. Me, him, and Dawson, we got our own alliance, I'll say, with the Junction thing. And we all just vibe out, you know, share resources. And, you know, when I'm in L.A., I had them slide on me or something. Or I'm out here, I slide on them. We'll be in Oakland putting together something. And those are my people on the West Coast.
Dope, man. You move around a lot, man. You spend a lot of time in New York and the East Coast, too? No, not really.
I haven't went to New York probably in about like 10 of them or something.
Yeah. So is that important for you in making music, is moving around, getting out of your city?
Well, for me, I just kind of had a plan. And, you know, I took a hiatus off being a rapper for a while. And I just kind of went behind the scenes and started writing and producing for other artists and people like that. So with that being said, I still wanted to continue to build a fan base and a real strong following in a couple of different markets before I even start back rapping.
Yeah.
So that way, by the time I start rapping, I can just instantly get to doing what I do again, like with the shows and all the stuff, and really just, you know, touching the fans and stuff like that. So,
yeah, man, for sure. You just put out that project, The Purple Heart.
Mm-hmm.
Went crazy.
Yep.
What was that, 19 songs on there?
So
it was a lot of songs on there, man. But it was long overdue. It was very like, what's the word I'm looking for? It's very eclectic. There's a lot of different vibes on there.
Yeah.
Alternate
For sure. I love that song, man.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Shout out to Big G, man. That's the producer of that. Shout out to him, man. Shout out to my boy Tanner. You know what I mean? Dope. Tanner Jordan. Co-directing that with me and on the video side. Mm-hmm. We rocked it out on that end, too.
Yeah, Mr. President, though, I think was my favorite song on that one.
Man, I appreciate that. Yeah. I got a crazy story about that song.
What was it?
All right, so we was working on Vic Mensa's autobiography album, mm-hmm. up in L.A., and we was in No ID in the studio, pretty much like No ID Guru, Hov, he coming in and out of the sessions every day and stuff like that, like checking on what we doing and shit like that. And so I was in the back with Guru, and Guru was mixing like Rap City Project or something like that. So he was just giving me a lot of A for the Game, giving me a lot of jewels and stuff like that. And just showing me better how to make things sound better and how to tell the difference when it do or don't. You know what I mean? The difference mm-hmm. between good and great. Just a couple of jewels on the nuances of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he ended up, obviously when I went in there, I kind of knew like, man, hopefully I'll get an opportunity to play some beats for Guru mm-hmm. or for Hov. But I ain't go in there with the full, like,
yeah.
intention on it. I thought it'd possibly happen naturally type shit, mm-hmm. you know? So, because I came in there to work with Hov's artist, and that was my main focus. I wasn't trying to...
Right. You don't want to overstep your boundaries.
Yeah,
and shit.
I ain't want to be in there like, yeah, all right, bet we doing this Vic album. But Hov, shit, how about this, big bro? Yeah. All that. Nah, I wasn't on that. So we up in there, and Guru, he just busts out like, man, how about you play some beats and whatnot?
Oh, shit.
I look left and right like, shit. Oh, yeah. I've been waiting on this moment all my motherfucking life. Yeah. Fuck you, Tobel.
Yeah.
Come on, man. So I instantly get to plan stuff. We get to plan stuff back and forth. He mm-hmm. playing me different loops and different, like, samples and shit like that. I'm playing beats. He really was rocking with them. He was going crazy with them. So then he took, like, I said about, like, five of them for Hov.
Mm. And when was this?
This was when we was doing the autobiography project. This is right before 444
okay.
came
out. Okay.
I mean, to tell you the truth, I truly believe that 444 was definitely inspired and kind of had that, like, certain type of spark from the autobiography Vic Mensa album moments, because we had a certain vibe going on, and it was very like talking about what's going on, very like hip hop beat.
Yeah.
You know, Hov usually be talking that shit, you feel me? But
not on
that album, he kind of was coming with the, you feel me, with the, it was more like spoken word.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I was in there with Malik Youssef, and, you know, shout out to Malik Youssef. That's my brother right there, my big bro, my mentor. So I'm up in there with him, and he took the beats. That was one of them right there. And he was like, yeah, I'm gonna play these for Hov, and we're gonna rock out, see what's to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody else got kicked off the album pretty much, besides No ID.
Yeah. I was gonna say.
It was like a fully No ID produced album. Yeah, it wasn't like the, I think I'd have had a better chance of making that album if it was more like the other Hov albums, how it's like The Usual Suspects.
Mm-hmm.
And then he bring in a couple new bloods and like Hit Boy or somebody,
mm-hmm.
like the Jess Blaze, Swiss Beatz.
Yeah.
No ID,
yeah.
and Lex Luger or somebody will be on, you feel me? I felt that I might have could slide in under the New Generation Act, you feel me? So.
Yeah, I think, how many albums you think Jay got left? Think you got
left?
You think you got another?
I mean, is it really just about how much breath Shorty got left? Because really, like, he really just liked that. He do that.
Yeah.
You know, all right, so my mentor, Malik Youssef, he asked Jay-Z, and he asked Hov, he was like, yo, as far as the power that you harness and all that, like, do you feel like you more like Superman or Batman?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And by that, I mean, like, Batman, he kind of, like, he put it on. Like, he equipped himself with certain gadgets and certain things that made him powerful.
Yeah.
And Superman was, I mean, he is power. Like, it come from him type shit.
Mm-hmm.
And Hov is Superman.
Yeah.
In that regard.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
it's in him,
analogy.
Not on him. Like,
yeah,
he
that's a
that,
great analogy. Yeah,
he
yeah.
liked that.
Mm-hmm.
I seen
he just
him
got
do
it in him.
Like,
yeah,
he liked that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like,
damn. So what's that experience like?
Keep
like
going.
being in a studio with Guru and these legends, and Jay-Z coming in and out, and Vic Mensa is a legend in his own right. But what's that experience like?
It's like a learning experience. It's we really just be having fun, chopping it up, tweaking. We really just be laughing and all that, cracking jokes. Mm-hmm. It's a whole bunch of just funny stuff going on. Different people coming out, like Saul Williams and stuff like that. Like it's just really a lot of vibes. Yeah. It's real impactful to me. I just learn a lot.
And
sometimes you can teach.
Yeah.
Too, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that's what makes those legends so much powerful. And that's what I take from it as I grow into this shit too. Mm-hmm. Because I'ma always keep younger people around me who finna continue to progress this shit.
Right.
And I'ma be learning from them.
Yeah.
As they learn from me.
For sure. Especially in hip hop, man. You gotta stay like it's a young man's game, you know, in a lot of ways. But let's talk about your relationship with Malik Yusuf, because he's a legend, a Chicago legend, you know, like very involved with good music. Yeah. You know, I'm born and raised in Vegas, so all I know is, you know, what I read on the internet.
Right.
So if you want to expand on kind of his influence in Chicago and influence on you as well.
As far as Chicago go, Malik Yusuf is kind of like synonymous with Chicago or whatever the word is, however you say that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Synonymous.
Yeah.
Anonymous.
No, you got it right.
His ass, Chicago, fuck it, Tavell. He is Chicago type shit, you know? And so every facet of Chicago, he kind of been a very instrumental thing. So even back in the early 90s, everything, like, he kind of started a certain style of spoken word poetry, things like that, being on Deaf Poetry Jam. He been behind a lot of the major big acts in Chicago, like The Common, the Kanye, Carl Thomas, everybody that's important. He been behind it. Anything that happened in Chicago, he's kind of the driving, like, behind the scenes and in the front of the scenes type of force. So, like, Love Jones. You seen the movie Love Jones with Lorenzo Tate?
It's older?
Yeah.
It's
a classic, you feel me? But, like, you know, he was a part of that, too. He was coaching Lorenzo Tate on how to goddamn, you feel me? Put it together, you feel me? And he was in the movie. So it's like, it just,
he
stretched
Chicago,
like long into the history of it, Paul. Was like, he, you know?
Yeah. That's beautiful, man. How'd you guys link up originally?
So I had a group called The Guys.
The Guys, yep.
And it was me and my brother Smil. And I got a tribe called HOF, His Only Family. And that's a part of that. And, so we broke it off and made like a two-man group type shit, and me and my brother. So we kind of like took over Chicago, and I had already kind of like been on the rise in Chicago for a long time too. Kind of like in certain aspects, he probably seen certain aspects of himself in where I was on with me helping him create the drill music scene.
Yeah, we're going to get to that too, for sure. Yeah.
I'm just going to start with the group then. All right, so fast forward after all that we're going to get to later.
Okay. So the group was after?
The group was busting.
After
in
like
2013.
Okay, all right.
A long time ago, we had the group, The Guys. We had a hit record called Flea and a mixtape called Free The Guys and We The Guys _. And them shits took off. They took over. They was underground hits. This before the streaming era.
Yep.
So it was just like
Facebook and shit.
On it. Yeah. No, like when you go outside, everywhere you go, that's what's playing. When you go to a party, that's what they playing. If it's hoes there, that's playing. If you don't know that, then you just wasn't outside. Type of that's the energy that we kind of put onto the like region. And that attracted the attention of people and et cetera, et cetera. So then I got with bruh. And
he reached out to you?
Yeah, I just woke up one day and bro just called my phone. I didn't think it was him for real, so I hung up down there real quick just so I could go check on YouTube to, like, see, like, you know, that's shorty voice for real. So then the first conversation we had was about, like, an hour and 40 minutes type shit.
Damn.
And we just been, like, very close ever since. It's like some people you would meet and y'all just felt like y'all been to each other. Like
Feel
like I'd be talking to my ancestor or something. I talked to him like he time traveling when he talked to me. Like he already just did all that. So he trying to put me into this shit to the point where might not make the same mistakes he had, but you know,
so he's gonna
bump their head though along the way though.
Yeah. So he's been a mentor to you.
Yeah, for sure.
That's dope, man. That's super dope.
Teach me shit, introduce me to people. like I aid and assist him everything that he do type shit as best I can. Like if he working on an album of some sort, then I'm coming in, you know what I'm saying, aid and assist in the process.
Right.
I'm offering my pen or some beats. I'm putting together beats. We rocking out. We if he going somewhere, like I might hit him up like, yo, where you at on the map? And he might be like, oh, I'm in Detroit. And I'm like, man, I'm finna slide out there. Next thing you know, I'm out there for a whole month. Right. Shit like that. We just rock out.
Dope, man.
That's my friend,
dope,
you know.
Man. Yeah, that's super important to have somebody, you know, especially in the wild world of the music industry. It's super important to have somebody like that to guide you. And, you know, so I can definitely see why, you know, you continue to have success. You've had success, you know, you got the right people in your corner, man, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, what about let's get back to the drill scene, Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, or 2010, you know, you were making beats for Lil Durk. Mm-hmm. You helped create that sound. So what was that era like for you in retrospect?
I had a lot to lose and everything to gain. I was a father around that time. That's when I first really was getting into fatherhood and all that. My daughter was born in 2012. My daughter was born the year that the drill movement took off.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter, her name Aria Light.
Mm-hmm.
And she instantly was born right then while all that was, you feel me? So, you know, essentially like, I'm trying to think of the best way to answer that. Say it again.
So like that when the drill scene took off and it really took outside of Chicago.
Yeah.
And you're thinking like, oh wow, this is crazy right now, and I helped create it. What was that like for you? Now looking back on it and how, you know, drills like in the UK and New York and all that.
I always had a certain mentality called crib up, and I still do.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But now I'm starting to, like, expand it a certain type of way. Like, I make certain alliances, and then that'll have that same mentality.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, it was no outside alliances, outside Chicago or my heart type shit. Mm-hmm. It was crib up. That's it. I just wanted Chicago to be on the map. I wanted my city to go to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to play for the name on the front of my jersey and not the back. Like, I wanted to just put the city on best I can with what I had. I ain't have much. And none of us had much. Everybody used what they had and banded together. It was a lot of motherfuckers that wasn't together, a lot of killing and beefs and all that type of shit going on. But at the same time, it was a certain togetherness in Chicago, a certain harmony at that time, and it was like a perfect mixture. So you had the producers like me, DJ L, Young Chop, Snapback, Leaky Leak. It was a lot of raw ass producers, not a whole lot, but it was a certain amount of people who was together. Paris Bueller, like, I ain't gonna just try to name everybody
who was in that space.
It was like the producers, then you had the artists, and then you also had the R&B, like you had the Tinks, Dreezy, Dirk, Sosa, and everybody that's connected to them, and then everybody who into it with them. And and for me, when I first started, I didn't even know certain people was into it with certain people because I was a little older than them. A lot of those, they was teenagers and all that. And I was 21 at the time or something. So
you wasn't keeping up with all that shit. Yeah.
It's hard to, and I'm not from Inglewood. So it's like, I'm from the 100. So it's like, it's hard for you to be already grown, just having your own kids to, you know what I mean?
Coming into
the world, you got a daughter, all that. Now you're having a new one. So it's hard to know who that's 15 and 16 into it with each other on the whole other side of the city, you feel me? And unless you just parlay over there type shit all the time.
Were you producing beats for, like, both sides?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of those kind of, like, I'm one of the few who really just, on all across the board, from the R&B shit with the Tink to the rappers, to the drill rappers, to the alternative type rappers, I just was putting my energy out there and trying to help everybody that I could with what I could bring to the table.
Yeah.
And then you had your videographers, D Gaines, Azay, mainly those two, essentially, that was really the, and Loco Visions, RIP, peace be unto him, and RIP Leaky Leak, RIP Smiles, you know what I'm saying? Smiles was a big driving force too. A lot of people don't name as much like they should.
Mm-hmm.
But
what did he do?
Smiles made up No Lackin'. He made No Lackin'. He made all type of stuff. He the one who really was behind everybody. He made mm-hmm. To Live and Die in Chicago. You know, he actually was the first artist to ever make a video to one of my beats ever.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, Smiles, he's a huge artist and influence for the city and for the world.
And were you involved with Save Money around this time, same time, too?
You know, I always had a certain relationship with Save Money over the years. Like, they mm-hmm. always showed me certain type of love, and I always rocked with them. Mm-hmm. So Monster Mike, that's my brother, and he the one who kind of was like, that's his crowd, his type of part of the city, all mm-hmm. that type of stuff. It's like, it's different sections of Chicago. So then, like, in terms of, if you talk about the music scene, I'm just going to just say music scene. So in the music scene, you got your drill scene. Mm-hmm. I was heavy on that. Then you got your, like, alternative rap type scene type shit. And like that's more money. So like up north, Wicker Park. That's where they was really thriving at, with doing shows, events. Mm-hmm. And it was hard for me to break into that side of it just because they just feel like, just because, you know, how mm-hmm. we coming when it comes to the street stuff, or how we, you feel me, how we was maneuvering and putting it together, it wasn't really fitting with the more like, like really mm-hmm. rap.
Yeah,
boom baps, fucking
backpack,
like
alternative. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be on that. I wanted to show what I could do in that space too. You know what I'm saying? Like, people wasn't really used to someone having some type of range or some type of, you feel me?
Versatility.
Yeah. So they were trying to box me in and make me only just, you know.
Yeah, that's crazy. Because
Monster Mike introduced me to that side of shit.
Okay.
And I know a lot of people and Save Money.
Mm-hmm.
That's some of them rap, some of them don't. But I know all that whole side of the world originally from knowing Monster Mike.
Yeah, so that was around, because that around that whole time must have been crazy for Chicago musically, because you got the drill scene going on, and then you got Chance the Rapper, you know, blowing mm-hmm. up his, and Vic Mensa.
It was all connected, though.
That's wild.
Like Chance the Rapper, you look at old videos like Chance the Rapper, G Herbo, all of them was like, for instance, I was a part of Elevator as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I feel like Elevator and Fake Your Drive, and that's the other layer I ain't really bring up. Mm-hmm. I was trying to get into too. So you had the producers, you had the rappers, videographers, but then you also had like the David Drakes, the Andrew Barbers, mm-hmm. Megan Garveys. Lear, it's all them.
Yeah,
you feel me? You had.
So they had. You guys had all the ingredients. The
blogger and writer people and stuff like that. So
had all the beat. The things surrounding
kinda,
the music. Yeah.
Yeah, everything just kind of like just happened.
It seems like
of course,
stars aligned.
Chief Keef, that's what the fuck happened. Keith. Like Shorty happened, and everything happened from there.
Yeah, he had the whole world going.
Shorty
crazy.
Happened.
God damn! Have you ever worked with him?
A little something. Yeah. I got a record with him.
Oh, word. Damn, man,
he used to be hitting me up, like, back in the day, like, asking me for, let me look at this damn, hold on.
Yeah, that seemed like the stars aligned for Chicago in that 2010 to 2015 era. You had to,
He used to be asking me for Travis Porter, type beats and all of that type stuff.
Okay.
Like, way back.
I was just reading something on Twitter today that everybody's paying homage to
like,
Travis Porter.
I'm telling you, like, that Atlanta sound, definitely, obviously influenced the whole hip-hop game. But,
for sure.
I remember he used to be hitting me up, asking me, like, man, Joe, ooh.
Yeah.
So that kind of, like, foreshadowed, obviously, like, the direction that all the music was going to go, like, you know?
Yeah.
He hit me up and say that.
So how'd you get into really writing? Like, how does a writer... get his credits, and I was actually reading an article where it says you were uncredited for a lot of work you've done. Is that true?
I wouldn't say a lot, but yeah, I got some things I need to work out with a couple people.
Mm. Yeah, how do you go about doing that? Just like in hindsight.
I mean,
is there like split, like now that you know you've learned those lessons, do you go in with like split sheets and all that ready to go, or is it just based on the people you're working with?
A contract is only good as the people signing it. Mm. Regardless.
Okay.
So it's really just some litigation and some things that gotta take place. Rather not speak on it.
Yeah. So what was it like writing for Jay-Z though? I'm talking about writing.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was high pressure. Oh, I'm gonna tell you what happened. So me and Malik Youssef, we was putting together this stuff with bruh, and I'm a data hoarder.
Okay. Meaning what?
My computer, that mug be all fooled up. You ever seen somebody with their desktop all flooded up?
Yeah, that's
the type of, you feel me, type of time I be on sometimes.
Yeah.
Most of the time, all the time. Yeah, that's always been me. Mm-hmm. So I had what we was working on in my notes, on the iCloud notes or whatever, and my computer got so full that it all just disappeared. All of it.
God damn it.
All of it. That was one of the most wildest moments of my existence so far. Lost all the stuff, all the whole stuff just disappeared.
Ouch.
Yeah, and then we ended up having to really.
So was that?
We didn't even have time to even just get into it about it because it was like a timeline to get everything done, to rock out and do our part. So it was like, we didn't even have time to really just.
We
didn't have time to hash it out about that. It was just like. One of them, like, you on goofy time, like, boy, get your real goofy, stupid ass up on up out of here, boy.
Yeah.
But all right, man, we going, and then we just rocked out and had to pull it from the sky one more time, and then it just went through.
Dope, man, dope. Were you happy with the end product?
Yeah, I feel like sometimes as a creator or artist, you will feel like, if a tree fall in the woods and no one heard it fall, did it fall?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it can get discouraging at times. Sometimes you can kind of like, you will kind of forget. I don't want to say you will forget, but sometimes you will need some type of reassurance that you do have what it takes to be where you want to be or be who you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And just that reassurance to know, like, just stay down till you come up. And I think sometimes, like, writing for certain people like that gave me that, just, like, gives me that assurance to let me know, like, my vision that I have for my existence has always been exactly what I thought it was going to be, and it's still going towards that.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of my monikers is the legendary fireman. People call me that, or fire ruffin. But at the end of the day, like, I always felt that I could be... It's like a dude in the park hooping, and he really know, like, bro, I know I can hoop with Jordan in them, bro. I know for a fact, but he has no proof.
Yeah, exactly.
He has no proof. He has nothing to gauge it against, you feel me?
I feel you.
So it's a different thing that when he, you feel me, if he go to an open run one day with them, and he really hooping with all the greats, and he really sitting there neck and neck with, no, I ain't going to say neck and neck, but... He really sitting there able to be in the space.
Right.
And be respected. And someone is saying, like, what you think?
Mm-hmm.
Or, ooh, all right, yes, that. We doing that.
Yeah.
That let me know that, like, I could be there one day.
Yeah.
If I just, you feel me, keep grinding and just do my part.
Yeah.
And stay the course. So, I mean, that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's like.
To write for Kanye, it make me feel like. Shit, I could be a goat, you feel me?
Sure. I mean,
well, I might be a young goat already, you feel me? Depending on who looking at, who's saying it.
Yeah, I mean, your pen is top tier, man. When I'm listening to your music and I'm just listening to the flows and the lyrics, and it's like, you just, the way you bend words and twist words and you play with the words is definitely experience. And, you know, you don't just get that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure. And that goes to show you, like, how did that feel when Chance the Rapper came out and said that you're his favorite rapper from Chicago? Were you expecting that?
Hell no.
That's crazy.
I was just really having a bad day that day, and then just kind of made my day better type shit.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I feel like certain people probably feel the same way, but they might not say it publicly. Sometimes it's real good to get that acknowledgement from people that you look up to.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause Chance is younger than me, but at the end of the day, I look up to Chance in a couple different ways.
Mm-hmm.
He the one who really gave me a lot of that blueprint for how I wanted to put together my rap career and run my shit like more of an underground artist. Like, mm-hmm. I'm an underground artist, but I got mainstream appeal type shit, you know? Like, I learned a lot of those ways to do it from Chance. Not from him personally talking to me, but just studying his moves and really peeping what he's doing. And like I said, Monster Mike and being around niggas that grew up with him and be around him sometimes. So I just really just rock with Chance hard, and I really appreciated that because that it meant everything to me, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do the same thing as I continue to grow and build and be famous as hell and all that type shit more and more. I'm going to always be doing that type shit, like how Drake be doing and all that. I think it take a special artist to be able, and a special person to be able to, like, have confidence enough in their own light to, like, try to let other people have some light, too, or...
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You don't got to hoard all the...
You don't got to be scared to show the world that other people from this bitch really cold, too.
Yeah, for sure. It doesn't take
away... That's why I rock with Chance.
Yeah, it doesn't take away from yourself if
and
you
I
show
think
love.
He the best live performer from Chicago, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I seen him on his World Coloring Book tour. That was crazy.
The man is an icon.
Yeah, for sure.
Shout out to Reese Nim. That's my brother, too.
Hell, yeah. Hell, yeah, man. I mean, Chicago is like a fucking hotbed for talent, man.
Yeah.
Are you there a lot? You spend a lot of time there? All the time? You live there? Yeah.
Of course.
So who's up and coming right now that you would say somebody from Vegas may or not have heard of?
T. Louie. He got a project called Born Star.
Okay.
He's crazy with it. E-Dawg, H-O-F. He's crazy.
Oh, you got a song with him? You got a song? Yeah.
Yeah, he's my producer. And he also my blood brother.
Oh, okay.
And he also an artist, you know what I'm saying?
Dope, yeah.
And we all rock out. Yeah. But DCG, it's a group. They go crazy. James Ryder, he goes crazy. Legion, well, he a producer. He produced mm-hmm. Brent Fayez and all that.
You got a song with him too, right?
Yeah.
I've seen that too. So where do you feel like you've been
it's
in
a lot of Chicago? I'm gonna just say this, as far as like who's coming up in Chicago. Chicago coming up. That's what mm-hmm. I'm saying. Like you just said, Chicago a hotbed.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't.
You feel like it's still
people
on the
don't
rise?
Really understand how magic Chicago. Like you gotta think about it. Pressure make motherfucking diamonds, man. Yeah. It's a lot of pressure in Chicago. It's a lot of It's a different world in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
It's similar in a lot of places, but it's different in Chicago, bro. It's a different feeling out there. It feels different when you just, as soon as you get off the expressway and you in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
it's the most segregated city in America.
Mm.
So when you
really?
Get, yes.
Damn.
So when you in them certain areas, you got to just feel it to know what I'm talking about. Like, it's a lot of pressure, I'll say that. I don't want to just overly speak on the negative parts of Chicago, but it's a lot of pressure, and that makes diamonds, and there's a lot of talent in Chicago. It's a very artsy type city, but it's a street hood ass city in one. Like it's an odd place.
Yeah, it is. It's
everybody in Chicago raw as hell. That stuff. Everybody. Yeah. You could walk up to a bum standing on the corner, not to call him a bum, but you could just walk up on a person. Yeah. Standing on the corner tweaking, you feel me? He not enough heroin or something.
Yeah.
You might tap him, hey, sing something. He finna, so in love with you. Raw as hell. You, damn, what happened with you?
Yeah.
You might see somebody in a party. They might be in a party back when I was a teenager or something. They might be in a party, hip rolling or something, footworking and all that. Yeah. Walk out the party, go clap somebody. It's an odd place. Like everybody hyper creative in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. How does that make you feel about all the negative stereotypes?
Like comedians and like everybody funny as hell. Mm-hmm. Like by default, like everybody just funny as hell.
Yeah. How does that make you feel though? All the negative stereotypes about Chicago.
I don't feel neither way. No, mm-hmm. nothing left or right. I got my goals in mind, and I got my goals for the city, and man, that's what I just really just focus on. I try to help, and I'm trying to help. Motherfuckers that's trying to help.
Yeah.
And I feel like if we just keep doing that, we're going to just be straight.
Mm-hmm.
Stereotypes, I can't really speak on stereotypes. Stereotypes is what people say or something.
Right.
I'm just trying to deal in the reality of what's going on, how we can, you feel me?
Mm-hmm. What was I going to ask you, man? So what are your goals? Like, you've been in the music game for a long time, and you mm-hmm. put in a lot of work. How do you feel about where your career is now, and what do you see for the future?
I see myself being like Drake or something, like a dark-skinned Drake. I know how to sing. I know how to rap. I know how to produce the beats.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to do everything. But one thing I knew a long time ago, that this shit is not a talent show or it's not a skills or capability assessment. So I knew that I had to find other ways in if you ain't already just got. If you ain't born into rich or something, or if you ain't, your brother ain't goddamn Barry Gordy or something, then you got to find other ways in. If you don't got a whole bunch of bread or a whole bunch of this or a whole bunch of that. I made a whole bunch of stuff happen so far off a little bit or nothing, and I just, you feel me, went from there and I'm going from there. But at the end of the day, like, that's where I see myself. I really see my, I feel like I'm the best.
Why aren't you signed? Why aren't you signed to a
record label? Yeah. Or something? I don't want to be signed to a record label today or something. Until it, it's going to probably happen later or something maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm really just, like I said, I'm focusing on building.
Yeah. Staying independent. It's the best way to be, really.
Yeah. I'm open to conversations or something, but like I said, I'm just continuing to build on my own fan base and my own.
Yeah.
Like, I'm an underground artist, and I've been building on that, and I've just been growing past that shit. I work with mainstream artists, and I do things in the mainstream space, but at the end of the day, like, I don't have to make music trying to get a hit. I just make hits.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't like I'm trying to do it or something more.
Right.
I'm doing it because I have to get this deadline, all that type of stuff. These people, you know, all that. I just do it for real. It's from my soul. I make soul music. So sometimes record labels, they don't really understand how to finesse it until it's already shown in front of them already.
Right.
So usually they good for just picking up where somebody left off.
Yeah.
Capitalizing. So I'm just continuing to just grind it out and just do my part.
That's dope, man, for sure. Your music is definitely unique, and your flow, your sound is definitely unique. Do you get a lot of love on the West Coast?
A lot.
Yeah?
I get a lot of love on the West Coast. Whenever I go somewhere on the West Coast, it's full.
Mm.
It's full. Mm. I could perform an unreleased track.
Yeah.
And people probably been to some of the events. One person that I didn't mention too earlier, like Zelly Vibes from out here.
Mm-hmm.
I've done shows with her. Like, I done popped out and just, I done sung unreleased shit in one of her shows. And the whole, you feel me? They sing every word. Like, I got a good, like I said, that's what I've been building, like a good fan base, like in these different places, certain places.
Yeah, that's what you got to really do, man. I mean, I tell a lot of artists all the time, man, is fucking move around different cities.
I'm trying to
sell products.
I'm trying to just really just
do my main inspiration.
Yeah, my main inspiration is Master P.
Hmm.
Like, that's what I'm trying to be. That's what I see myself. Drake, if he owned himself as much as possible.
Yeah.
And helped other people too. Like, that's what I'm trying to do, like that type of stuff.
Well, Hits Only Family is kind of moving in that direction, right?
For a long time.
It's almost like, I mean, you're not, are you signing artists or are you?
I say this, HOF, Hits Only Family, it's more kind of like the format of like Wu-Tang.
Okay.
Like how
collective.
They all together, but they can all, like Quelle and Jabre, he signed to E1. Not no more, but like Quelle and Jabre, he went to go sign with E1. E1. They doing their thing with him and the budget of this and da da da. But he HOF too. Yeah. So whenever that trickled back to everybody.
Yeah.
So the goal is like certain people gonna have to do what they have to do on that side, labels and blah blah blah. But at the end of the day, the next generations and the next people, not generations, but the next people, they ain't gonna have to do none of that. Mm-hmm. They gonna be fully independent.
Right, right.
You feel me?
Yeah.
If we gonna just keep grinding and trickling it around, we gonna sell a lot of records and sell a lot of products. You know, I'm influenced by Nipsey Hussle. I was selling $100 and $50 EPs and mixtapes, and they were real good last year, at the end of last year. I ain't put out my first project till October last year.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a tough time to really to do anything right now with all the corona shit. So you do you do what you can. But so how did you grow up though? I'm kind of curious. Did you grow up around music? Because I feel like you were in a music household growing up.
I mean,
because you're musically inclined. You know, like there's rappers and then there's artists that rap, and you're the latter for sure. Like you know, when I hear your music, I'm like, he's an artist.
Yeah.
And so how did you grow up? And how did you get introduced to music?
Shit, I grew up in a crazy-ass life. Like, my life was It just was a crazy growing up. Very violent household, very violent surroundings, very a lot of violence, a lot of like turmoil type environment from the inside of the house to when you walk outside the house. So I didn't really have no space to just relax. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was always some type of stuff going on, you know? So I really just was, after a while, you kind of just want to engulf yourself into all the stuff that's surrounding you. So that's what I did, and that's what me and my people was doing. We just jumped into everything accordingly, how it seemed that you're supposed to, you feel me? So we did what we do. And then as far as how that influenced music, it happened naturally. Like, I didn't grow up in a, like, musical household or something like that. Like, nobody in my household play music or something, sing or play the drums or some shit. I just was born like this. Like, I just think of it or something in my brain. It's how I think. Like, when I look at something, I'm looking at a melody. When I'm looking at something, I'm looking at bars. I'm looking at how to make a punchline from any. As soon as I just look, that's just how my brain think. Yeah. Like,
so music,
like,
music.
Like, if I see this, I'm gonna be like, gotta watch niggas. Gotta screen them.
Okay.
I really mean it, really seen them. Or I might be like, I've been, you know what I mean? What you mean? Come fuck with my team. Your ex broke, like a screen. People neck broke when you walk on a scene. Like, as soon as I see something, I could just think of the other things that it mean too, and I could just
connect the dots.
But as far as words, and then the other side, it's words plus melodies, you feel me, and the story and all that. So I just got a lot of stories to tell, and I just can put do unlimited melodies or something. I could just do a lot of melodies and shit.
Do you feel like music was your escape, in a sense, like even in your own mind from all the everything going on around you?
I won't say that, man. It sounds good to say on a movie or something, you know what I'm saying? Like, music was the only thing that kept me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't really say that either. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, music is it's just a reaction.
Okay.
To me, music is just a reaction to shit that happens.
Okay.
Like, my music styles and all that, it's influenced from living life. Like, I'm not a person who just, I don't know, like, I'm not a person who just be all like, all right, so we're going to cut the decibels up, and like, that ain't really me, you know? So it's really just natural. So the concepts, the melodies, the influences, it come from being at the rink on 87. And they play this song, everybody go get some chicken. And then when they play Chris Brown Poppin', everybody run to the little middle of the floor and shit. Everybody grabbing on each other, grabbing on the, you know, on the floor and all that, and hip rolling and all that type stuff. My brain just knew, okay, that song is what you make. That song is what you don't make. Now, that song, too, is big enough to even be playing right now. But that's how I came up with Hits Only. You see what I'm saying?
So your mind
that's
is
the
just
mentality. Only make the ones that people could grow up to. And people could really just, it hit their soul a certain way.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, Alternate is one of them songs, too. It's just like, you can't help but, you know, bounce to it.
Thanks, man. People could create some memories to it or something.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I think that's, is that one of them songs that you feel like might be slept on, or might you want to take, put some marketing dollars or whatever behind it? Because I think that motherfucker could go.
It will. Sure. It's a plan.
So, well, shit, man. Is anything else you want to talk about? That was quick, man. I mean, that was about 45 minutes, but I think we can wrap this up, man, for sure.
I want to talk about White Girls Say Nigga.
Oh, God damn it. How could I forget about that? Yo, you want to tell them about it? Or you want me to get my...
I got a play. It's a hip-hop play. It's called White Girls Say Nigga. And it's about interracial relationships, it's about beauty standards, it's about all type of stuff, but it's just about, you know, race in America. And when I say it like that, it sound all like the physical, the metaphysical, whatever. No, it's not none of that type shit. You feel me? I am not, no, it's not all that. But I don't like talking about me. It's funny when you're trying to talk about
okay,
music.
Okay, let me get.
But
let me
it
get,
go up yeah, though.
Let me get my reaction.
It's a really
to
amazing
it,
play.
It just came out today, right?
Yep.
So it's out right now, and he sent me the video literally right before we started this interview, and I was watching, and I was like, "This is fucking genius. It's fucking genius because it's there's so much truth to it." And you give the you're rapping from the white girl's perspective, and it's hitting everything that I feel like everybody know like thinks about, and then the same thing from the black girl's perspective, mm-hmm. and it's like, yo, you're speaking for them, but it's coming from a male voice,
yeah.
So it's like there's different layers of genius to it,
yeah.
But it. The video was perfect, and it's gonna go viral. It's gonna
I
go
appreciate
viral, bro,
that.
For sure. How did you come up with that? Like, what inspired you to
Tyler Perry?
Because
that's what I want to be like too. I'm really heavily into film. That's probably I don't know if it's equal or more when it comes to the passion that I have when it comes to like art or creating stuff. Mm-hmm. I really like film. I really like plays and all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like making TV. That's how we end up with the Emmy. That's how I end up getting an Emmy win.
Mm-hmm.
But just doing TV stuff.
And what show was that for?
We put together a TV show called United Shades of America for CNN.
Mm-hmm.
I think it still is the record for the most aired episode on CNN history.
Mm.
I don't know if it still is, but it was at one point. With Kumar Bell, Malik Youssef, G-Seal, get them in. The whole squad, you feel me? Whole gang, you know what I mean? We had D-Wade, Mama, and we took them to the All-Gill Gardens projects and let them, you feel me? It was intense. And we had Vic Mensa. We had a sit-down round table type situation. We had a conversation between the generations that never been had and definitely never been had on camera, too.
Mm.
So we really just chopped it up and really spoke on some real shit, like do or die the legends, do or die, you know. It was dope.
That's yep. How did that feel, getting an Emmy?
How did what feel?
Getting an Emmy, getting that award.
It felt good, man. It felt like it was supposed to happen because when we was, as soon as we wrapped up on the shoot, I'm like, oh, yeah, we're going to get an Emmy for this.
Yeah.
Literally, that's exactly what I said. I was like, yeah, we out of there on front of it. We gone.
Yeah.
H-O.
Damn. That's beautiful, like, man. That's beautiful, bro. What were we talking about? Oh, that goes back to you liking plays and Tyler Perry.
Tyler Perry. Yeah. So I rock with Tyler Perry, man. Some people got words to say about him or something because
really?
He choose to put his outfits on or some own thing. Oh. But the man acted, man. Leave him alone. He's right. Thespian for right. Tabell.
Thespian. Yeah. For sure.
Thespian.
Have you ever played in a play?
Hell no. I'm about to.
Yeah. Yeah. You auditioning?
I got a movie that just came out with I Am True Star that came out. It's called Smoke Break. I executive produced. It was the first project that I fully executive produced.
Mm. It's out now?
With me and him, yeah. It's called Smoke Break. Came out a while ago, and we got a short film on that.
We'll check that
and
out.
And I got another movie that I'm about to be doing at the end of the year with some people in L.A. But I rock with Tyler Perry because of this. He cornered a market, and my mans became the first black person that got a film studio.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hate on that.
No,
the market. You can't even go to no old person house or your mama, grandma, auntie house without some type of Tyler Perry thing playing.
Right, right.
I want to be like that for my generation and the old generation, kids, whatever it is. Like, I want to put together things like that because you can't really lose like that. So I feel like that's what I'm on. Hood plays and all that.
Yeah.
So I'm coming with this play. I made a new format to mix it in with music, you know what I mean? So
this is going to be interesting. I'm super interested in this white girl project.
I can't wait till you see it live.
Cuz the video, the song, the lyrics, everything is just like, yo, whoa. This is one of those things that it's just so filled up with truth that it's going to, you know, it's going to shake some people up for sure.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. So, I'm really excited to do that live. You feel me? I'm going to be doing some auditions and stuff like that in the city near you coming up. So be on the lookout for those things to occur.
Okay.
And, so be on the lookout for some different projects that I got coming out this year. This year right here, I'm calling it the Fireman Era, the beginning of that. I have a certain initiative. I got some projects coming out.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of why I'm in Vegas low-key. I have a, you have, it's an artist named Tripofiend.
Tripofiend from out here?
He from Gary, Indiana, but he out here. Okay. He live out here, I think.
Okay.
But that's my dog. I got a project with him coming out. We already got it done. I came out here to shoot the videos. Oh,
okay.
With him.
There you go.
Then I got a project with Teej coming out.
Ooh,
as well.
I'm looking forward to that one.
That's going
to
go up. It's so raw. You feel
When's
me?
That one coming out?
Me, him, and Dawson, huh?
When's that one coming out?
I'm shooting for like around like a little bit before Valentine's Day.
Okay. All right. I'll be on the lookout for
project,
that one.
I got a project called Enemies with Benefits coming out on Valentine's Day. That one's going to be fire.
that title's fire. Enemies with Benefits.
Bro.
Damn.
Yeah, man.
See, this is what I say. This is what I mean when I say that there's rappers and there's artists that rap. And, you know, you have that artist mind, bro. I could just hear it, you know, with that. But I'm really looking forward to
that. I'm just a little slow, that's all.
What you mean?
I don't know. It's like slow people be the raw people, G. I'm telling you, dude.
I don't think you're slow. When I say slow, fast. Okay,
I'm so fast, I'm slow. No, just
nah, man. It's like your brain just turns in a little bit different direction, which gives you an advantage in a lot of ways. So, it was great talking to you, man. For real, I'm glad you pulled up.
Anytime.
My door's always open for you, bro. I'm looking forward to the Fireman era this year. So, if anything I could do to help Vegas, just holler at me. Got my number, so.
Man, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Make sure y'all visit www.firemanhof.com. We have new merch out right now. We got new different products out right now. We have whole new projects coming out soon. I want you guys to also subscribe to my Patreon account. I just made that thing. It's coming up now.
Mm-hmm.
Rock out, support. Let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait to see y'all in person again, man. It's been a while since the pandemic. I can't wait to see every one of my fans. I can't wait to see y'all in Oakland. I can't wait to see y'all in L.A., obviously in Chicago. I can't wait to see y'all in Southern Illinois, and I can't wait to see y'all in Vegas and everywhere else, too.
Sir.
I mean, I love my fans. These motherfuckers will do anything for me. They'll hurt you. No, for real. They be getting tattoos.
Oh, word?
Like, all that type of stuff. That's what I've been focusing on, because it's like you said earlier, you says, man, Joe, I'm noticing that your stuff is so potent, like, I'm ready to see that bitch have 50,000 million views right now.
Yeah.
It's in the works, but I really just been focusing on building that really, really, really strong cult fan base.
That's what you need.
And that's what I got. And that's what's building. And I love that more than anything. I love them more than anything. Like,
bless you.
When they see me, they show me a lot of love. And whenever I say I'm going to be somewhere, it just get full as hell. I be surprised. I remember I had an event with... at CMXX a couple years ago. It was the first time I even did something in Vegas. Was Tenesse there? I think Tenesse and them was there.
Yeah, they were definitely there.
Me and Malik, I had a release party for my mixtape, Why Your Eyes So Red. And
that's right, yeah.
When I walked in there, I literally thought it was like double booked. I walked in there, I'm like, damn, man. We must have came on the wrong time, or man, they done put somebody else over here too with the same.
Yeah.
Like,
they were there for you.
I thought we was gonna have a venue today.
Yeah.
Because it was like so many people in that bitch that I ain't know. I'm like, damn. But then when I'm walking in, people stay just looking at me and all that. So I'm like, oh, they here for me.
Yeah. Dope, man.
It was pretty cool, you know?
Yeah.
So that's how I know, like, oh, yeah, it's real. We rocking.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, them cult.
We rolling.
That cult fan base is what's going to give you a career, longevity.
Because the other stuff is push button.
Right, exactly.
That's what people be trying to
fickle.
Rush to the look to look on. Right. It's like, build it out. Build a solid foundation.
Yeah.
That's for any artist that's coming up in the game. Like, it take 10 years to be an overnight success sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The kind that stay, at least. Exactly. Not saying it's going to take everybody 10 years, but I'm just saying, just an example, throwing it out there. Like, you got to build that solid-ass foundation, because you can get a song that pop, or you can do a raw song and then a nigga make a meme or a comedy video or something, and everybody going to be tweaking over that one moment or that one song, but they ain't going to care about you.
Exactly. They're not going to be invested in you buying
and
you're
going to be chasing
that
song.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be chasing that moment.
The song's bigger than you.
And you're never going to get it back, little nigga. You're never going to get it back. There you're going to be trying to find my way back to her. Yeah, well, it's going to be tweaking, you feel me, trying to, you know. Yeah. So now you're going to be at Wendy's or something, and everybody coming in there like, damn, shorty, what you doing in here?
Yeah.
Why you here with us?
Yeah, I feel you.
And so now you tweaking, you feel me? You can't be, you know what I mean? You got to be ready to draw, take it back for the drum boy, take the long way, you know what I'm saying? I was working at a factory, all type of stuff, just really... just taking every step, little steps, and finessing this stuff, you know what I'm saying? But it's like...
there's no shortcut.
Because when you win big, you win.
Exactly, bro. When you solidify, you solidify. Can't nobody take that from you.
Nigga, I'd rather be rich than famous.
Exactly. All right, man, I appreciate you. Till next time, bro. Whenever you back in town, come through, do it again.
Gang.
Whew, yes, sir. Man, this shit goes by fast, bro. I can't believe that shit.